Ladies and gentlemen, it's game day. Tonight, 9 o'clock, wherever you are in South Africa right now, you are no doubt preparing for tonight's blockbuster Rugby World Cup semi-final. It's South Africa, the defending champions, up against England in Paris, 9 p.m. kickoff. It is as big as it gets. And of course, a spot in the Rugby World Cup final and a dream final against the All Blacks awaits for the Springboks if they get this one right. This is the Inside Pass, a special edition of the Inside Pass. We are live from Forrester's Arms, better known as Forries, in the southern suburbs of Cape Town in Newlands, a well-known establishment, a rugby viewing establishment and watering hole, a place that loves its sport and is hosting us today as we are building up to tonight's game and getting a sense of the atmosphere on the ground. My name is Lloyd Bernard, the sports editor at News 24, and I have a very special guest in front of me today, and a person who knows Forries quite well, Rob Howing. How are you?
Hi, Lloyd. Nice to be here.
Nice to see you. Rob retired from News 24, semi-retired a couple of months ago, still contributing to us daily, Rob, and the coverage has been fantastic throughout what's been a great World Cup. I mean, just your general views on what this tournament has been like. I mean, it's been superb from start to finish, really.
It has. What it has done is definitely show that the better sides, when they've been pitted together, it's made for some absolutely superlative rugby. It is a great shame, of course, that some really quality outfits have gone by the wayside because of the lopsidedness of the draw. But it hasn't taken away, as you say, from the entertainment value, because some of the minnow sides have actually produced some good rugby from time to time. We've always been used to lopsided scores in the World Cup. You know, that's been a tradition, right? It's just the way it is. The top tier nations are always going to have the number of some of the smaller countries. But, you know, teams like Portugal, Chile played some really nice rugby at times, given us some good entertainment, had periods of really good traction, surprising traction against better nations. So it has made for a very good spectacle and a very nice international feel, with a really cosmopolitan feel to it, with spectators coming from far and wide.
Yeah.
And I think the French public, of course, have been, you know, pretty hyped up about it as well, except for the fact that they've now abandoned the tournament in numbers. We all know why, of course, because of that famous result last weekend.
Let's talk about this, though, Rob, because, I mean, you know, rugby aside, I mean, what this is doing again, and we're seeing it right now, I mean, we're 4 hours away from kickoff still, and already here at Forries, we've got Bok fans coming in through the doors. We've got the Proteas on, who've got a great win against England today in the Cricket World Cup. We've got the Stormers and the Lions, playing in the first round of the URC, and people are already glued to the TVs and getting into the atmosphere. I mean, is this reminding you, it's still early in the day, hours to come, but is this starting to remind you of 2019 just a little bit and what the Boks did in 2019? I mean, we saw then the ability of this team to kind of unify this country. And there is certainly that sense at the moment that South Africans are very much all on the same page for this big moment.
I think so, absolutely. I mean, the excitement is very tangible at the moment, possibly even more so than in 2019, because we've come to the realization that this team was in it for the long haul. You know, it's a team that's shown its mettle on the really, really key stage of the World Cup. South Africa have an amazingly proud history at the tournament. You know, we still have the best strike rate of any team. Let's not forget that, at actually winning the World Cup from the fewest tournaments. You know, we did miss those first couple. So our strike rate has been superb. And, you know, right on the cusp of doing it again, it's so fitting in a way that if South Africa can, I say if, that we can get over this little hurdle tonight and then play the All Blacks, both teams then vying to become the first to win it four times, which also tells you about the extent of the All Black Springbok rivalry. And as much as anything, tonight, as much as it's about downing England, it's about that desperate desire among South Africans to see our team face the All Blacks in what would be a dream sort of Southern Hemisphere final.
What have you made of team selection? We haven't chatted to you since the start of the tournament, but, you know, obviously a lot of chat around Marnie and Andre Pollard. Do you like the way that they've handled that? You know, the fact that Marnie Lebok is backed in a game this big today. I mean, it's got to be the right call.
I like it. I think the fact that Andre Pollard came back into the mix and didn't, you know, sort of instantly jump into the hot seat, I think that would have been poor management. And, you know, this Springbok Brains Trust is not renowned for poor management. They treat the players well and fairly. And I'm very happy that Marnie Lebok is in the fly half channel. I think he brings a sort of an uncertainty and an X factor that you know, Andre Pollard does play a very good template-driven Springbok, game plan. And Marnie gives you that little unexpected thing that we saw when he was became such a revelation for the Stormers and how important he was to their URC success over the last couple of seasons. So the fact that he slotted into the on the same level in a Springbok capacity has been absolutely unbelievable. And I think he's actually a very key player. And I think it was encouraging that his goal kicking also seems to be perhaps getting back on song at a good time. He is on his day a very good place kicker.
Somebody wearing a full England kit just walked in a couple of moments ago and went and sat down on the courtyard. I think he's got a long night ahead of him if things don't go according to plan for him, surrounded by what will be a packed Far East tonight, no doubt. A couple of fans who have joined us and have been here, I hope not too long, gentlemen, but we've got Selwyn from Johannesburg, who's made the trek down, and Noel from Durban, who's both of them visiting. Plans at this stage, gentlemen, is to stay all the way through till the end of the rugby, but obviously a long day ahead. Selwyn?
Yes, Lloyd, yes, we're planning to stay the whole night here for the long haul, obviously. Excited. Couple of games. I'm a big Lions supporter. Unfortunately, we're a bit behind now. But looking forward to the Bokke game. And then if you look at the England-South Africa cricket game, that's a good starter for the day.
I mean, South Africans do love their sport. You gentlemen obviously do love your sport, Selwyn. I mean, just what we're seeing today, it's very special. Two World Cups, both against the same opposition. The first one's in the bag. England have fallen to the Proteas in India. Money on the box tonight?
Absolutely. I think, as I said, now it's a good omen that we already won the cricket now, but 100% all my money on the box for tonight. I think I don't want to get ahead of myself or, be too cocky about we are going to run all over the English. But I think we in a better space, in a better, well, better prepared in terms of the games we had previously. So from my side, I think prediction-wise, a minimum of at least 12. We had a game last night. The New Zealand game was obviously one-sided, but boring. I don't know why the New Zealanders are talking about boring rugby. The last game between the French and the Bokke, we scored 4 tries. So very excited to see a lot more tries, especially as you said earlier about the game, the type of game that Marnie is playing.
Yeah, do you like the team? I mean, the no changes from the quarterfinal through to the semi-final. We actually expected maybe one or two when we were chatting in the week. We thought Faf de Klerk might come back, and they've gone with the exact same 23. Do you like that consistency?
Look, absolutely. I'm with the side selection. I'm very happy with that. My prediction is actually just to play with the same team in the semis and then make a couple of changes for the finals, because I think in terms of the mental fatigue to have, two sort of big games, one against the French and then the other one against a semi-final game, will be a bit too much maybe for 3 games in 3 weeks. But I think possibility maybe I'm bringing into the team for the finals,
cool.
It will be big. Who knows? That would be my call, definitely, and maybe a Moody on the bench.
And who's really impressed you, Selwyn, at the tournament so far, from a South African point of view? I mean, who have been the guys who've really stood out for you?
Look, in the past, way back, I used to play, in the backs also, and I'm fairly I quite fast. My good friend Noel Ingle here next to me will agree on that. So I'm very impressed with our smaller stature players, your Cheslin Kobe's. He had a fantastic tournament up till now, so he impressed me quite much. I think we had a bit of a dip with here and there with the front row, and that is our strong point. But imagine coming from the bench, Ox. He was one of the most impressive players coming from the bench, and as we know, with the bomb squad, he can be sort of the leader there. Peter Steff also had a fantastic tournament up till now. I know there had been a lot of news around him in the news recently, but that would be my guys for now that really stood out.
Thank you, so and enjoy the game. Mm-hmm. Noel, where were you in 2019 when the Boks won the Rugby World Cup in Japan.
In front of the TV, Lloyd. Hey, I'm a teacher. I couldn't afford to go there.
Was a special time.
It was absolutely brilliant. 95, 207, absolutely brilliant. And let's hope that we're going to do it today. We've got a game tonight on our hand. Let's not bluff ourselves. And I don't think Rassie, Jacques and the team will be complacent at all. We've got a huge game. England are going to come at us, but we've definitely got the team. And quite frankly, with the bench that we've got, I think that's what's separating us with all the top teams at the World Cup.
It is almost a bit of a role reversal if you think of that 2019 World Cup final, you know, when South Africa went into that match, you know, probably as underdogs given how well England had played at that tournament. And if you look at the teams now, South Africa really, whoever you speak to, expected to win. But I mean, that kind of suggests that you should be a bit cautious, you know. You just have to go back 4 years to see how quickly things can change.
Yeah, without a doubt. If you can remember, if my mind serves me correctly, that week before that England All Black game was, quite frankly, one of the best games of rugby I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic game, and I think that probably also contributed to our win, because they had put everything out on that game. You know, we're going to have to do it again today, and we are going to do it.
Yeah, that's fighting, confident talk. Let's just talk a bit about Siya Kolisi. I mean, how big's he been for the team for you just over the last 6 years?
Oh, he's just been brilliant. We were actually talking about it last night. You know, for him to come back from that injury and to virtually walk onto that field, and if you can remember when he was playing for the Sharks, he had hit a purple patch.
Yeah.
It's as if he had walked off, gone to the change room, got changed, and came straight back on for the second half.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I don't think we can. I actually get goose flesh thinking about him. I don't think we can overstate his importance to the team, back to the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he gets through these next two games, and he probably already, you know, regardless of what happens in the next two games, goes down as, you know, arguably the greatest Bok captain ever, given everything he's contributed. But, you know, I mean, a World Cup win here, and that conversation just ends. I mean, that debate comes to an abrupt end. You know, Siya goes down as the greatest Bok captain ever if we win.
Yeah, he's definitely iconic. We've also got to look back at the past captains, and we've got to say we've been blessed, have we not?
We have.
With genuinely good rugby players, good leaders as far as captaincy is concerned. But to win two World Cups and back-to-back, well, going to be hard to beat that. Well done, Siya.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate this, and enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully come, you know, 11 o'clock, 5 past 11 tonight. You boys are still here in good spirits and celebrating a Springbok semi-final win and a place in the final. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game. We're going to go across now to our man on the ground in France, Mr. Kaniso Truck, who trucks the final stretch of your trip. The finish line is in sight of your comrades' marathon-like Rugby World Cup coverage. It's been brilliant, Trucks. You've been doing such a great job. The finish line is in sight. You are in Paris at the moment, building up to the game. Tell me, Trucks, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What's the vibe like in Paris?
Well, if you're going to use a comrades marathon analogy, it's the uprun and we're poly short. And you know that we've seen many a comrades marathon winner either power up or fail at poly short. But that's where we are now. I mean, I'm at the Cafe de Oz. I'm in Danford, Russia Row. Minister Nicole has actually had a short chat with him. He's wished the Boks well. He's very happy with how the Proteas have absolutely dismantled England in Mumbai 229-run win. So, look, I mean, now, as our headline said from the match report from yesterday's game between Argentina and New Zealand, over to you, Boks. It is over to you, Boks, in every way, manner or form. Now, I mean, he had the Cafe de Oz. There's a lot of green jerseys, left, right, and center. But I suspect this is probably the biggest mass of green jerseys we may see. There's still others streaming and coming off buses. I'm coming off the metro stations. There's one metro station to my front, and one to my left. They're coming in, having a few drinks, then they're going to move up to the stadium. But remember now, I just overheard a conversation where one of the supporters from Kobe, they actually said they did not have a ticket until Wednesday afternoon when French fans, when the reality dawned on French fans that they're not in the tournament, therefore they offloaded their ticket. Then in offloading their ticket, South African fans have been able to purchase tickets. So one would feel that there may be a reasonable South African presence, especially those who may have found the visas and the time to come in from the UK, coming from other countries than Europe. There has been a quite big diaspora of South African fans from across Europe watching the Bok games. So, look, I think now they would have been very fortunate to be in a position to get tickets to actually watch the Bok, because, as we said through the week, there was a bit of a preordainment of France being in the semi-finals. That hasn't happened. We've got another derby between South Africa and England, the 2019 final rematch. And now that the protests have done the business in Mumbai, it's now down to the Bok at 9 o'clock to get their business over and done with.
There must be a few white jerseys floating around the place as well, Trucks, just give a geographical location. I mean, how big will that English presence be tonight for South Africa? And what is your anticipation in terms of how that crowd is split? I mean, will it feel like an away game for South Africa still?
No, it will. And I think because this particular joint has been a South African heavy place, there have been 4 or 5 South African jerseys, that England jerseys that we've seen. But I can tell you right now that once we get to the start of France precinct, it's going to be a different story, because a lot of them would have come in on Thursday evening, would have come in through Friday, would have come in this morning. They've got the benefit of coming in through the Eurostar, which makes their travel much easier compared to South African fans who may have to fly in from South Africa, then those who are catching TGVs from other parts of Europe to come catch the game. So, understandably so, the weight of the pound will allow for more England fans to come in and get tickets and accommodation. But look, it's going to be a very good game. It's going to be a very tough game, because right now there has been a bit of rain. There's been intermittent rain falling throughout the day. There's been a very strong wind that picks up and dies down. So, look, that's going to have an impact on how the game will pan out this evening. But again, the better drill, the better prepared team will ultimately prevail.
Tell me, Trucks, since France have been eliminated, tell me about the tournament as a whole and the general kind of interest in the product. I mean, have you noticed from a sense of like media coverage and just kind of energy in the streets and around the place? Trucks, are you still there?
The host team in the tournament.
Trucks, are you with us?
Not the host team in the tournament. Look, you effectively removed... Yes, I'm back. Sorry, the line went down a bit.
Yeah.
When you remove the host from a tournament, we're effectively taking away the life of the party.
Yeah.
So, now French people are going about the business like there's no tournament. I was sitting at a hotel yesterday, next to start the front ahead of the New Zealand-Argentina game. They were getting off, coming off buses, going to, we're coming from work, as if it's a normal day, as if the World Cup doesn't exist. So, I think that bubble being burst last week has hurt. And look, it's not the first time France has been hurt at a tournament. Remember they lost the 2016 Euro final to Portugal, and they felt that they were going to have another 1984 version where they're actually going to go on and win the tournament, another 98, where they're going to win the World Cup like they did when they won the Soccer World Cup. And remember now, it's the second World Cup that they've hosted that they've not been able to win. So they have that feeling of agreement that when is it that we're going to win the World Cup? So, that feeling has existed throughout this, but I think now, by the time the quarterfinals, the semifinals are done, they may get over that. They support whoever plays in the third and fourth place playoff and whoever plays New Zealand in the final.
Trucks, you've watched all the teams play throughout the competition. South Africa, obviously, you could say strong, not quite overwhelming, but strong favourites for tonight's game. From your side, if you put the pen down for a second and turn into a Bok supporter and a South African, any reason to worry at all from your side? Should South Africans be comfortable and secure in the prediction that the Boks will win tonight?
Look, the thing is that on paper they should, but the Boks are capable of switching off when you least expect them. And I think this is the one game where you don't want the Boks to switch off. This is the one game where you need them to put in an 80-minute performance. As soon as they kick off, they can't allow England to have that kind, to have the kind of start that France had. Yes, they're two different teams, they're differently coached, but South Africa need to put their stamp on the game as soon as possible. They need to exert their authority on the game. They need to make sure that they don't allow England to, they don't make mistakes in their half. They need to be very dominant. They need to be very assertive. They need to put their stamp on the game. That's the only, I mean, if you look at how New Zealand played yesterday, New Zealand gave Argentina a bit of leeway, but the moment they got into 22, they scored. They got into 22 again. They were leading 12-3, and it was pretty much Curtis under that. The problem with South Africa over the years, they've always seemingly given teams a bit of a way out. This is probably the game where South Africa need to merge the physicality of through the tournament and the execution of last week and put in ruthlessness. If they're physical, they execute well, and they're ruthless, then things should work out. But this is an England team that should not, that must not be underestimated. And I, my feeling is that they also have a bit of a good game in them. They have gone through what is seen to be a relatively weak pool, but you won, you earn your way to the semi-finals. But I think that's the concern now, that England may have a good game in them, and they may stay before South Africa because of what happened 4 years ago.
I was about to start giving you the Oscar music there, Trucks. Thank you so much for joining us. Insightful, as always. Enjoy the game. The coverage has been absolutely superb, and good luck for the rest of it, Trucks. As we said, the finish line is in sight. Hopefully you'll get to see a dream final next weekend between the Box and the All Blacks. We're going to go to another fan who's walked through the doors at Fari's, and it's a rather curious one because I understand that this is Dean from Sea Point, who's sitting here proudly in his English colours. Dean, explain that one to us.
I wouldn't want to be in any other colours today. I love the country of England. I love the British. I love everything. And I just thought that today was apt, seeing the Springboks, who I don't favour for this particular game, play the British, the very strong British team. And I just wanted to show everyone in South Africa that we do have British supporters locally.
Where is it on the field that you think England have the edge going into this one, Dean?
So where don't they have the edge is where you got to ask yourself. and whilst we do have, whilst the Springboks have Rassie, I feel...
Slip up there, Rob.
Well, the Springboks have Rassie and a couple of good players. I feel England have, as a unit, a stronger team on paper and on the field. And we'll see how that plays out a bit later.
Thank you for that, Dean. It's going to be a long night for you, I think, if the result doesn't go your way, given where you are. But all the best. And I suspect this is all a bit of chaos, and you're backing the Box very hard for a win tonight. Rob, let's go back to you. I just want to chat a bit more about what Trucks was saying. You know, the Box favourites to win, yes, on the park, on paper, everywhere you look, really, there's more muscle. You know, the new kind of dynamic approach they've got on the attack with Marnie pulling the strings there. Everywhere you look, South Africa probably have the edge. But it's a Rugby World Cup semi-final, and if history's taught us anything, it's that on the day, the result can go either way. I mean, you know, there has to be that kind of cautious approach to this as well.
Absolutely, Lloyd. I think the big job facing Jacques Nienaber and Rassie Erasmus is to make sure that the players are grounded, you know, before kickoff. And I do believe that they'll get that together. I do think they'll make it happen. I think it's quite feasible that that South Africa, if they put their mind to it properly, can win this game going away. And I really hope that they do win it going away, because I think it'll be quite important. I don't think they want to get into a sort of 83-minute arm wrestle to have to get past the post, because look how easily the All Blacks got past Argentina and started emptying their bench left, right and centre, playing with 14 men willingly at one point. And showing that they also have, you know, plenty of gas left in the tank. I think it's very important that if South Africa are going to beat England, that they actually do put them away, and we can actually go to the luxury of bringing on some fresh legs, bringing on some Ergius Neymans and Quagga Smiths, not because we're chasing the game, but because it's already in the bag, and we can rest some vital legs for next week, because again you would have some interesting choices to make next week because of the continuity that we've had for this week. Could the Box do it again with a sort of unchanged combination hypothetically a week later in a World Cup final? So there's that to consider as well. So the, you know, the sort of tempo of the game and where it stands after about 60 minutes or so could also be an important indicator of just how prepared the Box would be for a presence in the showpiece next week as well.
We're always wary of cliches in sports journalism, but you know, the one of having played your final already, it came up for England in 2019 when they beat the All Blacks in that famous game that Noel was talking about earlier. You know, I guess France last week was, as close to... No, it wasn't perfect. Yes, it was too frantic to be perfect. You know, that first half, there was just too much going on for it to be clinically perfect. But in terms of performances and leaving it out there, I mean, it's going to be some effort to top that from a Bok point of view.
It will. The thing about this team is that they know that they're on the cusp of a really special history, because there's no doubt in my mind that if we do win this World Cup, it will be the finest World Cup win yet by a South African team, given the draw, given what we've known for months and years about how tough it was going to be. And if South Africa do get to that final and win it, frankly, it doesn't matter from now. These last 160 minutes of the tournament, you know, assuming that they get past the post tonight against England and then, you know, can do it again next weekend, it doesn't matter how ugly it is. If the mere fact that if they've managed to pull it off and lift that Webb Ellis Cup again, you know, becoming the first South African team to earn back-to-back triumphs, it'll be absolutely mind-boggling. And I suspect that will have been drummed into the heads of the players just how special this group can become if they can repeat. Because it's been a murderous itinerary for them. And look, you know, they're still standing. They're still going. I think it's going to be, you know, grit the teeth and get stuck in for another 160 minutes. The last thing they want to do is to play in that dreadful Friday nighter against Argentina next Friday. I suspect that's another key motivator. Let's make sure, chaps, that we're still in this tournament a week later, not just 6 days later.
Yeah, that is not a game you want to be a part of at all. Just for a second, put yourself in England's shoes if you can. I mean, what are they thinking right now? What's their kind of outlook here? Is 2019 factoring into this? I mean, I would think it was. I mean, I'll be honest, when I was watching the Proteas beating England earlier when we were preparing, and it was such a hammering, and I was thinking to myself, yeah, that's just one back four, because they played the Proteas in the opener of the 2019 World Cup and were beaten quite, you know, England won quite badly. England won quite well, the Proteas were beaten quite badly, and I thought to myself, ach, that's one for 2019, you know, it's a bit of revenge getting one back. I mean, how much can that motivate the side to pitch up on the day?
I think England, you know, they are due a big one for starters. They haven't yet been properly extended at the tournament, given the luck of the draw. So they will feel that they've got a big performance in them, and that they'll be thinking, well, isn't this the perfect juncture to do it? And a lot of their players, of course, do still have those memories of 2019, that sort of nastiness of sort of blowing it. And having been in that final, as you will testify, for quite a lot of it, remember South Africa's murderous spell of defence in that first half, which psychologically won that final. It wasn't because of Springbok brilliance, it was because of pure Springbok grit, you know, our typical the traits we've always had. And this England team is I would say arguably worse than the team of 2019. I don't think that they've progressed. I think they've probably slightly regressed, and Steve Borthwick is just trying to get them back onto a sort of even keel. It would be an absolute fairy tale for them if they won this World Cup. But it's there. It flickers in front of them. I don't think that there's too much to worry about the depth of their side. I think South Africa's 23 as a whole, not just the 15, but also the 23, is significantly stronger than theirs. I don't think, for instance, that someone like Benny Vunipola is an impact player. I think he's the kind of guy who the sort of brute that you want to get in there for 60 minutes up front, not bring on when you know, you're chasing the game or, you know, having to sort of defend your own line desperately. So I think it shows a little bit of the relative lack of quality and depth in their ranks. So they've got someone like you know, the veteran eighth man as an impact player. I would have thought if he was going to have a role in this final, it would be as a starter. But you know, let's wait and see. There are still some quality players in the England team to worry about. Maro Itoje, Courtney Laws, some of their front rankers are gnarly specimens who've played at the very highest level and on the very highest stage, and so know what's required, know what's at stake. And there's the Owen Farrell factor. You know, if he kicks every goal, and you know, if he kicks 7 out of 7 at the posts, heaven forbid, South Africa could be in a little bit of trouble. But you know, I've got to say, I do have a good feeling about the game from a Springbok point of view. I do have a sort of a nervous excitement about the Boks getting this job done.
There you go. You heard it there from Rob Howing. Don't worry, it'll be okay. Boks to win comfortably. No, Rob, I think looking forward to your player ratings after the game, either late tonight or early tomorrow morning, depending how deep the game goes. And hopefully everyone's you know, six and above, and then I think they should be okay and get the job done as long as there's no howlers. Thank you so much for joining us, Rob. Really great to have you sharing your insights with us. Varies is starting to fill up. The beer is starting to flow. The tables are starting to fill up. There's Bock jerseys everywhere. Still just the lone gentleman draped in England colours. And yeah, hopefully he has a long night ahead of him. This has been a special edition of the Inside Pass. Wherever you are, enjoy the rugby, support the Springboks, and come back to News 24 for all of your coverage around the game. All the best and cheers. You are.